What makes a pearl? A Hands of the Emperor story, written by Bread and Roses and read by Calicaria. This story has been rated for general audiences, contains the Jen pairing, Artorin Damara and Cleofer Kit Madang, and has been tagged, No Archive Warnings Apply. Additional tags for Hurt Comfort, Sick Fic, Developing Friendship, Very Slightly Non-Canon Compliant, Set After Petty Treasons. Summary. Kit mentions that he was sick after working on the Little Ridge Treaty. I took that tiny reference and ran with it. He was pacing in his study earlier than usual that morning. He felt like a live wire, brimming with thoughts and plans and possibilities. Some of this was due to the newly settled magic of Zunid. His head felt clear and his stomach calm for the first time since he woke up, really. And some of it was Cleofer Sayo Madang, his audacious, unpolished, brilliant secretary, who had, with no guidance, walked into an intractable war at Little Ridge and come out 2 weeks later with an agreement for world peace and a new form of government. He had been fond of him from the start, had admired his abilities more and more as he discovered them, reveled in his frankness and willingness to treat him like a human being. But this was so far beyond his expectations that Cleofer might as well have sprouted wings and flown. No, that would be more believable, some hidden gift of magic. A hidden genius for diplomacy, organization, bravery, and unbelievable nerve was far rarer and more precious. He had been caught completely flat-footed when Cleofer had returned yesterday with his report. He had not been able to respond properly. What would a proper response be? And had sent his travel-weary secretary off to refresh himself, with orders to attend him tomorrow. And he had spent the time between marveling and pondering appropriate ways to honor the man who had achieved this impossible feat. He was still considering, but at the very least there was a new title to bestow, and a vacation. Time sufficient to visit his home at the far end of the world, and a skyship to travel in, both because Cleofer did not need another difficult journey, and because he had no intention of being without him for all the months such a trip would require. It was not an adequate recompense, but it would do for a start. Where was Cleofer, however? He was invariably on time, waiting outside the study door at 5 minutes to the third hour. He could taste the magic around him when he was near, but this morning there was no hint of sea and stars and adventure, no soft rustle as the guards made ready to announce him. He swallowed his impatience. The man had had a very difficult several weeks, and it was unreasonable to expect promptness this morning. Really, he should have sent him on vacation the moment he returned. 5 minutes became 10, and his impatience increased. This was so unusual as to be concerning. When the bells struck a quarter hour, he gestured to the senior guard at the door.
Send to Sayo Madang's quarters to find out what the delay may be.
The guard saluted and passed the message outside the door. More waiting. More pacing. Where were Cleofer's quarters, anyway? The palace was so large, it could well be hours before a page reached him and returned. What could possibly be keeping him away for so long? Suddenly there was movement and murmuring outside the door, something being discussed with the guards there. Not Cleofer, though. No whisper of his presence. He restrained himself from flinging open the door and demanding answers himself. Terrified, fainting pages would surely not help the situation. The door opened, a message was passed, and the junior guard, Ludvig, saluted.
Glorious one. The page sent out has met another coming this way from Sayo Madang. He seems to have been taken ill, and was found wandering in the Alanor-El wing in a state of confusion.
He felt dizzy, as if the ground had dropped away under his feet.
Confusion?
He asked.
Yes, my lord. The page attempted to help him back to his rooms, but he insisted that she bear the news of his indisposition to your Radiancy first. She left him there in such a state.
He tried not to thunder, tried to control his voice.
It was difficult. The guard murmured outside and received a murmur back. My lord, she found a passing servant to assist him and did not leave until he was helped back to his door. She said he was most agitated, and she felt that obeying him would cause the least harm. Damn the headstrong, conscientious man, anyway. Confusion, agitation, gods knew what else, and his greatest concern was sending word to him. He said quickly,
Send for Domina Audrey to attend upon him immediately. When she is done, she shall report to us, no matter the hour.
He could feel the surprise from the guards at this, but ignored it. The word was passed, the door closed, and he returned to his pacing.
My lord, asked the senior guard, shall we send to the offices of state for a replacement secretary?
He whirled around sharply, and whatever showed on his face made the guard, a brave veteran of many actions, pale. Once again he held on to his control with both hands. A breath in, out slowly. It was a perfectly reasonable question. There was still work to be done.
No,
he said after a moment.
Perhaps later. We have other matters to attend to.
He turned again and swept through the door of the study, back towards his bedchamber. Kanju was in the process of tidying some little matters, his back to the door. As he swept in, guards trailing him, Kanju turned with a start and genuflected. As he arose, his expression changed from surprise to concern as he studied his charge's demeanor.
Is something the matter, my lord?
He asked. He found he could not immediately answer. He kept picturing Cleofer, lucid, efficient, decisive Cleofer, wandering in confusion. He must have had quite a high fever, if it affected him so. Or perhaps an injury to the head. If he had not been found, he could not stop envisioning a miserable huddle in a corner, in the crumpled gray-brown robes of a fifth-degree secretary. He drew his mind back to the room, the conversation.
Saya Madang has fallen ill,
he said. He saw Kanju's face tighten in concern, and felt a sudden kinship with him. Kanju and Cleofer were acquainted, after all. He thought they might be friends. He was someone else who would care about Cleofer, not just his function as secretary.
Domina Audrey has gone to see him,
he told Kanju, attempting to reassure them both. Kanju nodded.
Would you like a cup of tea, my lord?
He asked. He was unfairly infuriated by the question. How would a cup of tea help the situation?
No, he said firmly. I wish to see Saya Madang. Where are his rooms?
My lord, they are in the Alinor Alwing, but Your Radiancy cannot possibly go there.
Why on earth not?
A sick room is impure, my lord.
To hell with that.
He regretted speaking so sharply as he saw Kanju wince, and modified his tone.
I can cleanse whatever needs cleansing. Why should that keep me from a friend's bedside?
He saw the word friend strike his listeners, and wished he had not said it. That was not the point, anyway. Did none of them understand how essential Cleofer was to the world? Did none of them understand what he had done? Well, no. They had no reason to understand. Would it please Your Radiancy to at least wait until Domina Audrey determines if he is infectious? Kanju asked, rather desperately. It did not please him in the slightest, but he reluctantly acknowledged the sense in the suggestion. He nodded shortly and turned to... He did not know what to do. Work was impossible, but what else was he to do while he waited? He looked around helplessly, nearly asking Kanju if he could assist him in whatever task he had interrupted. That would probably make the poor man faint, and it wasn't as though he had any special skill in such areas.
A cup of tea would be welcome.
He finally sat, and Kanju bowed and hurried about preparing it with an air of relief. He sat at his breakfast table and breathed in the fragrant steam, trying not to think of what might be going on at some far corner of the palace.
At last there was a stir at the door, and Domina Audrey was announced. He rose to meet her, another breach of the usual etiquette, but he was too eager to wait serenely. She made her obeisance and rose promptly at his gesture, then clasped her hands and began. "My lord, I've been to see Sire Madang as you asked."
"What is the matter, then?"
"He has a fever, my lord, and it was indeed higher than I like to see. I believe that he is suffering from a seasonal ague, considerably compounded." Here she lifted her chin and appeared to brace herself. "By stress and overwork."
"Is he in danger?"
he asked quickly. She hesitated, and his stomach dropped. "If the treatments I ordered reduce his fever as they are intended to do, and if he is kept from exerting himself too soon, I believe he will recover fully. But I fear he has been neglecting his health in his zeal to serve you, my lord."
Ah, she thought him a tyrannical master, who was outraged by his underling's abandonment of his duties. He appreciated her willingness to defend Cleaver from him. He nodded, and she took it as encouragement to continue.
"It is my professional assessment, my lord, that he will need considerable time to recover his strength. This convalescence cannot be rushed without risking backsliding."
"Of course, Domina. We shall be guided by your judgment in this matter."
"He seemed terribly concerned about your radiancy's ability to get along without him," she continued disapprovingly. "If your radiancy would condescend to set his mind at ease, I expect that would contribute greatly to his recovery." "Then she would let him see Cleofer." He nodded sharply.
"Of course. May we visit him now, then?"
She looked startled. "I'd not thought your radiancy would go in person," she said.
"Is there some reason we should not? Is it not safe?"
"He is not infectious, but, my lord, where you travel, within the palace or outside of it, the world notices. Courtiers flock behind you. I fear that it would not be restful for Sire Madang to entertain the Lord of Rising Stars, in all his glory, at his bedside." He saw the sense in that, and yet, Cleofer was agitated, feverishly worried that he had let him down somehow, and needed reassurance. And he needed to see him, to say to him...
"What if,"
he said slowly,
"we did not arrive openly?"
Kanjo, somehow, found him the silver-gray costume of a priest-wizard. Hooded and masked, he strode the halls, with Ludwig and Sergei behind him and Kanju leading the way, all robed as acolytes. This attempt at a masquerade would have delighted him in any other circumstance. People scattered before this delegation of the Uranatha, but from their behavior, no one seemed to realize who was beneath the mantle and mask. It was a long walk, nearly to the end of the Alanoral wing, where they met Domina Audrey at the door of Cleofer's rooms. "His reverence has come to visit the sick," announced Kanju, with only the slightest twitch of his jaw. The doctor bowed at the proper degree to a priest-wizard and ushered them inside. Inside was an antechamber, and beyond it a small bedroom, warm and close and smelling sharply of medicine. A nurse was sitting beside the bed, upon which Cleofer tossed restlessly. He was flushed, his normally neat hair mussed, his voice muzzy.
"But you don't understand," he was saying to the nurse, who, by his expression, had heard this several times already. "I must go to my lord. There is so much to be done. He's expecting me."
"Sire Madang, you cannot even sit up,"
the nurse started to say wearily. He removed the priestly mask and stepped forward, dropping the mantle as he went. The nurse sprang up out of the chair and started to drop into the obeisance. He gestured him to stop and said,
"We would speak with Sire Madang in privacy."
The nurse laughed hurriedly. Cleaver's dark, fever-glazed eyes fixed on him with open astonishment. "My lord," he said, and struggled to sit up before falling back against his pillow.
Stay where you are,
he said.
There is no need for formality.
He sat upon the recently vacated chair, wishing intensely that he could smooth the damp hair off of Clayfer's brow.
My lord, whatever are you doing here? Clayfer asked.
He struggled momentarily for an answer.
I wish to see how you did,
he said finally.
Domina Audrey tells me that you are most distressed, and I hope to set your mind at ease.
Cleaver's face twisted in concern, and something else that he could not quite identify.
My lord, I am terribly sorry that you should have had such a disruption to your day, to your work, he said, and that you felt it necessary to come all the way out here to—
Cleaver, it is all right. Please do not be concerned about any of these matters. Your only business is to recuperate, for as long as necessary. After your achievements at Little Ridge, you deserve a vacation, regardless. I intended to speak to you about that this morning. When you are sufficiently recovered to travel, you shall take a skyship to the Vangaveave for 4 weeks. No, six.
6 weeks? But, my lord, the treaty, there's so much... How can I...
He stopped speaking as he was cut off with a gesture.
It is true that you have performed marvels in my service, but I will manage the running of the government without you for as long as I must, and I trust it will not quite collapse.
Cleaver blinked, and he worried that his statement had sounded sharper than the gentle tease he had intended. He spoke again, trying to make his voice as soothing as possible.
Indeed, I have no wish to do without you. But I will temper my expectations for a secretarial substitute until you return.
Cleofer's expression was a study in confused pleasure. Thank you, my lord, he said finally.
Very good. Now, can I trust you to rest quietly and follow instructions?
Cleofer smiled ruefully. Yes, my lord. Conju is moving quietly around the room, unpacking a basket he had brought along. With your permission, my lord, I will stay a while to see to his comfort. He nodded. His own presence was not restful, he knew.
Very well. I shall return to my duties, then. Domina Audrey will keep me apprised of your condition. Don't argue with the nurse, Cleofer.
Cleofer looked briefly indignant, then smiled and bent his head. My lord, he said. In the antechamber, Domina Audrey came up to him. My lord, I am very grateful that you were able to soothe his fears. I should let you know that Sayamadang was more coherent than previously, but his fever is still quite high. I think it very likely that he will remember nothing of your conversation, but its effect should remain.
So long as it sets his mind at ease, it was worthwhile. I'll write him a note.
He found Clayfer's writing kit on a nearby table, extracted pen and paper, and quickly wrote a note reminding him of the vacation plans and that he was not to worry about work until he received the doctor's permission. He signed it with a sun and glory, a touch that came to him at the last minute.
Very well. Domina, I will expect daily reports on his state of health. If there is any matter that he needs, apply to my household.
He replaced the mask and the hood, and, face hidden, closed his eyes for just a moment. Then he opened them and nodded to his guards.
Come along, then. There is a lot of work to be done.
The end. Thanks for listening.